This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the March 9th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. We have today the sponsor of the show, WEPA, and Shane Canfield, CEO of WEPA. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
Good to see you. And Stacy Outlaw. Stacy's the Senior Vice President of Marketing.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stacy.
How are you?
And Tony Zarente, did I do that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And he's a Senior VP of Operations, all of which are with WEPA. And we have a special guest, and her name is Joyce Warner, and she's the Executive Director of Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. Don't they call that FEA?
We do. Thank you, Bob. Okay. That's how we're best known.
Okay. And so what does FEA do?
So FEA is a national 501c3 charity. So we provide emergency assistance, and that's in the form of some no-fee, no-interest loans, some disaster relief, and also scholarships to federal employees. And, you know, I can talk a little bit later about a program we started, and WEPA's been a big part of it, called FedLife Hacks. And that looks at where feds need some really objective, easy-to-follow information about everything affecting them outside of their day job.
Okay. And what does WEPA do? We only have an hour.
We only have an hour. 75 years old. We're a 501c9 nonprofit, but it's primarily a group term life insurance designed for civilian federal employees only. So that's the ticket to get in the door, is to be a civilian federal employee, and been around for a long time, and that just speaks to our financials, our stability. 46,000 civilian feds in the program. So we're the largest of its kind that is not the FEGLI, the federally sponsored employer program.
Okay. All righty. Great. Now, because both organizations in the room here are what's called not-for-profit, I could define it, but I'd sound like an accountant. Not-for-profit doesn't mean that it doesn't make profit. Whatever it makes, it spends on the cause. Am I right with that? That's a 1,000-mile view of it. Is that the way you look at it?
Joyce may have a spin on it, but in our case, we do not pay federal taxes. We have some pretty strict rules about how we can behave. And I will say our mission is a little bit different. We are truly focused on the member. Our shareholders are members. It's not technically a mutual insurance company. But as a practice, our members come first. Everything we do is focused that way. I've been on the commercial side of the insurance business, and it's very different. We don't have stockholders. We're trying to make the next quarter's earnings reports. So this percolates through the entire business. And but we do, of course, we have to operate and make money. But it's a different spin and tone in the organization. And Joyce, you may have.
Joyce, you're under the same umbrella, probably different number, but
yes. So we're a C3 charitable organization, and so what that means, we also do not pay federal income tax. But those that donate to us, whether they're businesses, individuals, that can be a tax-free donation that they can deduct from their taxes. So that's a difference for us. Donations to FEA are tax deductible. We have some operational costs. We are pretty small, I will tell you. And so we rely a lot on volunteers to achieve our mission. And our goal is to use the maximum amount every year we can of our resources towards our programs. But obviously, we have costs. We have space. We have to have internet. We have to have some paid staff, accounting, things like that.
So. Accounting?
We have to do accounting. That's one of those things the IRS kind of insists on with our nonprofits.
All right, so everyone in the room, what you do not only solves issues, but you feel good about it, right? It isn't like I'm going to work to make X dollars and it goes somewhere else. You're making it to go somewhere else, but why don't you go first, Joyce? What are some of the fondest memories of what you did with the money that was raised?
Yeah. So FIA, you know, I think what's interesting for me is there's people we help every day, even though it maybe is not a national crisis for federal employees. And there are some, have been in history, some very terrible crises that affected federal employees, right? So on the very terrible crisis that affected federal employees level, you know, FIA was there the next day after 9/11 at the Pentagon working with the families of the survivors. We are still working with some of those children. And we worked with at a large scale. Same thing with Oklahoma City. Same thing with Hurricane Katrina. Same thing with Hurricane Harvey. So, and same thing with the shutdown. Okay, the shutdown was very devastating for a number of federal employees, especially the low-income federal employees. And we had so many stories. We had a lot of support. People come out to help us so that we could respond quickly to people who couldn't pay for their insulin, had maybe a disabled child, didn't have the money to pay the daycare that supports them while they work. Many of those feds were required to report to work, even though they weren't being paid, right? They were accepted. So certainly I'm proud of the ability of a very small organization to, the next day, take immediate action to help people. But on a day-to-day basis, there's the people who are very severely ill. We have somebody this month who's had a stroke, a federal employee, went back to work, had a second stroke. You know, they're struggling. They're out of they don't have short-term disability, most federal employees, right? They're out of sick leave. We're trying to help them bridge the gap while they get the treatment that they need.
Very good. Now, I believe WEPA stepped into people's shoes with regards to premiums during the shutdown. Mm-hmm. Am I remembering right?
You are. And I'm thinking as you asked that question, which was a really interesting one. This month is my 4-year anniversary. But Mr. Zaranti over here has mm-hmm. been with WEPA how long?
20 years.
20 years. So I'm going to ask you because you have seen far more of this organization's actual history than I. What do you think is a good favorite moment?
It's a really great dovetail from what Joyce was talking about with the unfortunate shutdown and furlough just a little more than a year ago. It seems like a lifetime, but it was only a year. You know, it really is thanks to the leadership of our board of directors and Shane and the entire staff at WEPA. We really just got together collectively and said, we've got to do something, you know, for these folks. So the board unanimously voted just last January to waive premiums for all of our members, whether you're actively employed, retired, if you're spouses that have your own policies, you name it. If you're insured with WEPA last January, we waived your premiums. So that was nearly $3 million that the board chose to say, we're going to waive the premiums for all of our members this month. We really hope this helps. And looking back in hindsight, it was a huge benefit to our members because mm-hmm. most of our members pay us with a discretionary allotment from their paycheck. So that's great. The problem is discretionary allotments are the first ones to drop off if you go on leave without pay or you go on furlough. And those aren't made up frequently if you get back pay later on. So the best part about waiving the premiums was that our members, once they finally got their back pay, they didn't have to then turn around and cut us a check or anything like that. We just waived the premiums. It was very easy for them. And the outpouring from our members was you know, probably more than we've seen for anything, you know, mm-hmm. using the social platforms and whatnot. It really was just a great benefit for our members. And that's really why we're here. You know, we're here for our members. That's all we've done for 75 plus years. And so it really was a privilege to step in and help those folks last year. So,
alrighty. So you provide an outstanding product, but outside of that, we just saw where you stepped in and paid the premiums. But do you all do anything for members in a general category that they say, oh, I not only get great life insurance by, is it New York Life?
New York Life.
Yeah, small company.
Yeah.
Yeah. But beyond that, I'm not saying that that's not good. But you know, we do things for our members, right? What else?
So we focus a lot on providing resources exclusively for the civilian federal audience. And that includes everything from guides to white papers to blogs. And those topics really provide content that is useful for the federal audience, such as TSPs, what to do prior to retirement, what to do leading up to retirement. We also put, we have a financial wellness program that is sponsored by EY, and that allows our membership to have free financial advice to help them wherever they are throughout their career, or again, if they're leading up to retirement, making sure they have everything in place prior to being able to retire, making sure that they have a neutral sounding board that gives them the ability to plan ahead. And so that's another great resource that we provide.
Now, the initials EY, for those that don't know, that's Ernst & Young, one of the big four accounting firms in the country. And they not only do accounting beans, but they also do tax work, financial and whatnot, and a WAPA member can avail themselves of those opportunities, and crazy if they don't.
And if I can jump in, it's interesting. Most, I believe it's still this way, Tony, you can correct me or correct me later. A lot of people, this isn't a pre-retirement thing that is available for discussion with a counselor. And it's a lot of it's cash flow management, budgeting, things that you don't normally see covered much. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pre-retirement training and information out there. But that's a very narrow subset of what people can talk about to a certified financial planner. And they can either get a complete plan, they can talk about a narrow issue like how do I start saving for my kids' college tuition, for example. It's really a great service, and it's the final thing I'll say, which I think is critical, is that it's in the industry, if you will, of financial planning, this is a fee-based arrangement. Now, it's free to our members, but what that really means is that whoever you're talking to isn't selling products. They don't have any products for sale. They don't have commission. They are 100% salaried employees. Makes a difference.
A huge difference.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a difference. Andrew says it's time for you to announce the first commercial. And you might know the company that's going to be talked about.
You have life insurance to protect the people you love. As a civilian federal employee, you have two choices designed specifically for you: WAPA and Fegley. The big difference? Price. Chances are WAPA premiums will cost you less. In fact, the average WAPA member saves $375 per year on premiums. Prioritize your peace of mind with a life insurance policy designed for feds by feds. If you're a civilian federal employee interested in comparing WAPA to Fegley, visit waepa.org today. WAPA is a proud sponsor of 4-Year Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Network, 1500 a.m. WAPA has been ensuring the future of federal workers for more than 75 years. See why over 46,000 feds have already switched to WAPA at waepa.org.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here March 9th, 2020, in a round-robin discussion with the fine folks at WAPA, Shane Canfield, Stacy, Tony, and we also have a guest that's never been on the show before but probably should come back, Joyce Warner, Executive Director of affectionately called FIA. That's easier than going through all the names, but I think people would recognize FIA maybe quicker than all the names, with all due respect.
Sure.
All righty. Now, we were talking at the break, and of course, nobody listening heard that you two sometimes collaborate.
We do.
And how do you do that?
So, you know, we've been seeing it, FIA, because we see patterns. You know, Shane talked about before the break that they're providing some one-to-one help on all these other things that are not retirement that affect feds. And we see a lot of those patterns with folks who come to us, either when we're out in the community in an event talking to federal employees or people coming to us struggling with an issue. And so last year we piloted a program. We were thinking about it before the shutdown, and then we were even more convinced that we needed to do it after the shutdown to get some of this objective information about all these things that affect feds. And I'll give some examples outside of their workday, because those things are affecting them at work. If they're having an issue that's affecting them at home, you can bet, like with anybody, it's affecting them all the time. And when we came up with this program, which we call FedLife Hacks, we immediately talked to WEPA because we said, who are the type of organizations who also are committed to providing objective information to federal employees about their life, right? And they've been a wonderful partner to us on this program. And so what we do is we take a topic and we try to condense down the key pieces of that topic into something in writing. We get that out through a variety of means, through social media, through our connections, we have a pretty large following at FIA. And we also use video because we know that some people take this information in, the same information in different ways. So let me give you an example. You know, everybody gets at the beginning of the year, what's the biggest thing people invest in? How am I going to get healthier, right? After the holidays, so common. So Stacy and I talked about it and we said, hey, let's talk about a way people at different levels of wanting to get moving more, how can they get moving more for their own health, their energy, their mental health, and how can they fit that maybe into their workday? And so we quickly put out a piece to give people those quick ideas about how they can get moving. Maybe park a few more feet away. Maybe think about the stairs. A lot of the employees have societies that get together, you know, like employee groups for exercise. That was an idea we had. So we've taken a number of topics with WEPA, with some other partners. We've talked a lot about aging parents, very big issue for the federal employee workforce, navigating that. I think in a couple months or maybe even next month, Stacy and I are going to be talking about being a patient advocate for that loved one. Difficult thing to navigate, right? How can you effectively be that patient advocate if you have a loved one in the hospital or needing treatment? So these are all things. Divorce and federal benefits was a huge topic we covered with NARF. All in all to say, we piloted this program and it was pretty popular. I mean, we had 50,000 hits last year on the pilot content, which is it's pretty big for something we just kind of developed and got out there to people. And that's not counting people who accessed it through email, social media, other things. That's just like the website hits. So we think it's important. People, feds need this. That's no criticism of the official documentation on some of these issues that may exist for them through their benefits, but sometimes they need it broken down in a little more digestible way.
So you step in major calamities, I could say, like you mentioned Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right there, right? Mm-hmm. And at the Pentagon, you were right there.
Mm-hmm.
And do smaller venues, so to speak, somebody calls up, maybe you have chapters around the country, and somebody calls the chapter at da-da-da-da, and we have a work slowage, or we have the town is losing its major store. Not that you got anything to do with that, but it helps people get along without being able to buy from that store.
So, you know, we're not an association. We're a 501c3 that would serve any federal employee, civilian, in any agency across the U.S. We serve people sometimes that are stationed overseas for their agency. And so the primary beneficiary tag for us is that this is a federal employee is affected. And then the types of things we would help them with are disaster. We've gotten involved providing resources for a victim of domestic violence to relocate. A lot of illness issues related to sick spouses, children, federal employees themselves that either have significant medical bills and or, again, because of this lack of short-term disability insurance, they've used all their leave up and they're finding themselves short for their mortgage payment maybe that month while they recover. So those are some of the more common areas that we get involved with versus just general areas in the community. And that's because we're a smaller organization, right? So it would be hard for us to respond beyond the federal community.
All righty. Now, with regards to WEPA, you step in where your policyholders maybe, I won't say trip, they stumble, and you come to their aid.
Yes, I mean, there's a number of ways. You know, we talked about the furlough last year, you know, where, you know, that wasn't anyone's fault, you know, certainly in the federal government. But we have, you know, we have opportunities for them to reach out. What we're trying to do, quite honestly, is on the front end to save these employees up to 89% over their Fegley premiums by switching some or all of their Fegley to WEPA. So what we're trying to do is get out in front of it right away and say, free up some of their cash, you know, that they're spending on Fegley. You know, if they move over to WEPA, then they have a little more flexibility, so they can save more. They can put more into their TSP. They can do whatever they feel they need to do with that extra income that they now have, to do something better with that rather than just spend it on a benefit that they could get a better value for.
Okay, you mentioned scholarships. How do they? I mean, I know how a scholarship works, but I mean, the listener is going to say, well, how can I learn more about that? So each of you have your own guidance advice with regards to that. So go ahead.
For FIA, yeah, I'll just say that we have an annual scholarship competition. The deadline this year is March 25th, so there's still some time for the energetic applicant. Ours are open to federal employees, to their spouses, and to their children. And we give about 200 scholarships every year. One thing about our scholarships, and I think this is the same for WEPA, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that they're portable. They go with the student. In other words, a lot of higher education financing right now is tied to come to this university, we'll give you this. Come to this university, we'll give you that. Well, that really limits in some ways how to package together a very expensive situation right now in paying for higher education for most Americans, and certainly most federal employees. And so our scholarships are portable. The student, if is selected, they can take that money to any accredited community college, university, graduate program, wherever they want to take it.
That's nice.
Well, Tony is kind of our scholarship guy. I love the program, but I can't answer the details. But Tony is our scholarship guy. He can do that.
We do some things very similarly to FIA as well. So we currently offer 75 scholarships per year. Our deadline is usually the very end of January or early February, depending on if it's a weekend day or not. But up to 75 scholarships a year. Those are available only to dependent children of WEPA-insured members. So as long as you have or have insurance with WEPA and you have a child that's of college age, then they are eligible to apply for that scholarship. Just like as Joyce said, those scholarships are portable with you, so we're not tying you down to, well, you better go to University of Maryland for 4 years, or that's it, you lose it. You have to reapply annually as well, so that also helps with not really needing to tie it to a particular university. We have had a lot of applicants who have had recurring scholarships as well. You know, the best and brightest out there, certainly. And it's also not tied to financial need whatsoever. Right. It's tied to, what are your aspirations? So it's a very nice program. Again, our board started that. We just finished our 11th year of offering those scholarships, and we look forward to continuing that, as long as there is a need out there. But it's a really great program for the dependent children of our members.
Do you find that some of the policyholders, if you will, both of you, don't go beyond, okay, I'm a member of this, and they don't know because they didn't read whatever may have been sent in the mail. Do you find that, I didn't know that you had life insurance like that?
I would say generally no. I mean, that is our life, and the term life insurance is, that's the sword we fall on, So, I mean, that was out there for, 65 years before we even started, kind of these other ancillary programs as the organization has evolved, with our marketing outreach, with these other benefits such as the scholarships. So I would say, generally speaking, our applicants or members, they come to us first for the life insurance, and quite honestly, then they seem to find out about all these other great benefits. And Stacy may be able to talk a little bit more on that as well.
Well, let's do that, because when you hear life insurance, sometimes you go, certainly not in your case, you go, well, I'll do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow may not come too quickly. So it's always nice to say, well, this is what they got besides the life insurance.
Mm-hmm. So as Tony mentioned, first and foremost, we provide protection and peace of mind through the life insurance product. And some of these other value add opportunities, such as the scholarship program, the EY program that we spoke about earlier, we have a great utilization rate within our membership. Once they learn not only that we provide peace of mind through the life insurance product, but we have these other ancillary opportunities, they take advantage of it, which is great. And that's why we do some of these additional incentives, if you will. And at the end of the day, feds are people too. And we, at our core, are all about the civilian federal employee.
Okay. And do you travel around the country in different cities and say, here we are, come down and hear the message? Or do you join in and, like, it would be not a retirement seminar, but they have different fairs in different spots of the country. And they have select vendors that come to those. And I believe you all do a fair amount of that.
We do. We have quite a bit of outreach opportunity throughout coast to coast. And then we also partner with organizations like FIA to help us, brand awareness, brand recognition at larger events. We have an event coming up in May. I don't know if we want to talk about that
sure.
now where we're partnering together. But
yeah, we in May, WEPA is going to be a gold partner for the 8th annual public service walk and run. And this is a really fun event. People can participate in person at National Harbor in the D.C. area, but we also have people sign up to do it virtually, get a group of friends together, do it in their community, wherever they may be. And this one is the first official event of Public Service Recognition Week, so it kind of highlights and supports that. But it's also a health and wellness thing. We like people to kind of get moving, and we provide a lot of opportunities. You could walk a mile, you could run a mile, you could walk 5K, you could run 5K. So there's a little something for everybody. There's also a lot of feds who come out and volunteer if running isn't their thing. And this is a great opportunity to, one, meet with different organizations like WEPA and also show your support for federal employees
and their civil service.
And their civil service. Mm-hmm. And I almost always try to guarantee a beautiful walk on the river with great weather that day. So I'm putting in my requests now. But the course is magnificent at National Harbor. It's completely waterfront. And so people come out, feds come out with a group of friends and family. They go for this beautiful walk, and then they partake in some of what's available at National Harbor, whether it be,
food,
renting a kayak, going out to brunch, right, all kinds of things that are there.
Okay, and I'm sure the day is going to be successful only because it's your day.
It has to be. I'm just go like that, knock on wood.
Okay, and again, when is it?
It's May 3rd.
Okay.
Sunday, May 3rd.
And any time?
9 a.m.
Okay, all day?
All day, and you can sign up at it's not all day, it's usually like 9 to 11.
Okay.
You can sign up just in time for brunch, I should say. You can sign up at feea.org/5K.
Okay, very good. So what I was driving at, listeners, just in case, it's just not what they provide as a service. They provide all these other things, other than life insurance, other than in general taking care of sticky situations. So there's a dynamic in both organizations that you might not otherwise know if you just read a spot. Is that fair to say?
Definitely.
Please
absolutely.
Say yes. All righty. So, Andrew, what do we got? Andrew says 5 more minutes. Sorry. So beyond that, we talked about upcoming events. We talked about people that maybe were surprised that you do things beyond what you're maybe known to do. Brag on yourself a little bit where somebody didn't know that you provided this service and found out that you did. Did that provide you an incentive then to market that comment a little bit? Not so much for the revenue, it's to provide more services. Somebody just might not know. If I didn't know any better, WEPA sells life insurance. But WEPA does financial planning. And not WEPA does financial planning. It's done by a major accounting firm, et cetera. So when people hear of a life insurance company or a not-for-profit that does good things, what's been a surprise that somebody didn't know that you do what you do?
You want me to take that?
Sure.
Okay. So one of the things that we often like to promote is the fact that feds have an alternative to FEGLI, which is their government life insurance plan. And with that, oftentimes they are capped by their salary restriction, whereas with whereas with WEPA, we offer up to $1.5 million in coverage. So feds might elect to keep FEGLI but need additional coverage, so they have us in addition to the FEGLI plan. Our plan is also 100% portable, so if they choose to leave the government, they can take us with them, which is a nice feature that we have as part of our plan as well. And then one of the other nice things within our plan is we offer premium refunds. And although they're not guaranteed, what that means for the member is, depending on how the plan performs each year, we give anywhere from 10 to 25% of their premium refund back to the member. So in addition to saving up to 89% in some options, depending on your age and coverage amount, you will also receive a check from WEPA in the form of anywhere from 10 to 25%, which is another great savings that we offer to our membership.
Yeah, that was nice. I was a participant in that as an accountant. I forget who it was, a major carrier, and they gave you money back. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of not a pretty way to say it, but premium refund sounds much jazzier.
So I think in our case, one of the things we've been working on, we also have a Fed. Our tagline is Feds Helping Feds, right? And so people sometimes don't realize that, you know, everything we do for federal employees comes from donations, comes from corporate partners, comes from individual donations, the combined federal campaign, fundraising events. And so I think what's interesting is that we've been making a real push in the last few months. We've gotten some support to get the word more out about FEA so that people who haven't heard that there's this resource is available to them. I will say some of that's starting to work. A girlfriend who works at a federal agency, I won't say which one, said, "Oh, I came in and I saw all this FEA stuff, and I'm not even sure how it got to that agency." So that means we must be getting the word out more, because my goal would be for FEA to be a household name for feds that are in trouble. Now, there's some things we can't help with. So, for example, if someone has just a financial problem that's not related to a hardship, it wasn't because they were sick, it wasn't because they had a death in the family, it wasn't because, you know, they were a victim of crime, you know, that might not be something we can help with. That's why it's really exciting to me to hear that WEPA is helping with this financial advising. We are too small to do one-on-one financial advising with an institution, but we try to provide specific advice to get people motivated to take action for themselves. So we do some financial advising around financial information around FedLife hacks. So we talk about, like, okay, you want to try to get your budget. It was America Saves Week was just a week or two back, right? And so we're trying to say, like, how do you start putting together, what's the best way to start building that emergency fund? Are you using some of those tools you have, those many allotments that you can do on your paycheck as a federal employee? Are you using some of that to build your own emergency fund? So I think for us, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make what we are doing aware broadly across the entire federal community, and where it's not central to our work because of our size and our capacity, refer people to other organizations who can be that resource for them. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay. What we're going to try to do now is take a break. And when we come back, as you both are talking, I'm saying, how do these people get people to join in and spread the word? So let's that's the tag to come back, folks.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today. We're talking about two not-for-profit organizations that serve federal employees extremely well. one FIA and the other one WAIPA, and we'll talk more about what each does. But we had, at the break, just a thought came to me about volunteers, and I think FIA is probably more of a volunteer organization than what WAIPA is, with no disrespect.
Yes. And we have volunteers in different forms in FIA, right? So first and foremost, we have our board of directors. They volunteer. They're not paid for their service. And they represent leadership positions in the major federal employee unions, in the major federal employee management associations and affinity groups. And so those people, you talk about reach, you know, through their roles as leaders within the federal employee community, they are also helping to carry the message forward about FIA. And then in addition to that, we have volunteers that we use to help us do our programs. So for example, we have a structure where we have a multi-level selection process for our scholarship committee, and we use volunteers serve on the committee to help review applications for us. And we usually have about 200 volunteers that are part of the first stage of selection for our scholarship program. We wouldn't be able to do it without that. And we recruit a really diverse group of professions, experience, regional expert, throughout the United States. It's not the same profession all in Northern Virginia. It's people from all over the United States who help select. We also use a lot of volunteers I mentioned earlier at the public service walk and run. There are people who are there cheering people on, ensuring the safety of the participants in the program, making sure nobody trips, passing out water, helping the registrants and all that. So all told, we probably have 300 volunteers every year that work with FIA in a year. And they are a big part of our ability to get things done. But as far as getting that word out, I mentioned those representatives on our board who are leaders in the federal employee community, and they make a big difference in getting the word out too.
Okay, Shane, you were...
Joyce, you said something that we were talking at the break and saying that we're not really geared towards a volunteer structure. And then you mentioned the board. Our board is totally non-paid. I guess you could call that a volunteer, but it's a non-paid board of civilian feds. And but I was also curious, can you talk about the disaster relief? I'm a little unclear on that,
sure.
But it sounds amazingly helpful, wonderful for people in trouble.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Sure. So when I often say we're almost a little more disaster recovery in a way,
okay.
Right? In that FIA, you know, we are probably not doing water distribution. We're just too small. And there are organizations that are really set to do that. What we're helping is there's evacuation costs that are beyond someone's means, mandatory evacuation, or repairs that require them to be out of their home, or significant repairs to their home. And what we often see with federal employees or with everyone is that, you know, hurricane insurance, if you're in those hurricane areas, the deductibles are much higher than regular insurance, than if your house just randomly, you know, had a pipe burst or had to burn down, right? And so for people to get back into their homes, it's usually a pretty significant expense for them, because they have to meet that deductible first, which is maybe $5,000 or $7,000 sometimes. We see it's not your maybe $500 or $1,000 traditional home thing. So when also for us, I would say we have had some support we've provided in the Alaska earthquake and the California wildfires, but really flooding and hurricanes. And I think it's because of where centers of large numbers of federal employees are located, right? New Orleans, parts of Florida, Houston, Harvey, those are areas where we usually have a bigger response because there's just more federal employee civilians there.
So when you respond regionally, you must have some people that you call up and they're ready to move in the case of a move in the sense that put into motion what they're there for.
Yeah, and what we usually if you're a victim of a natural disaster at that level, you're probably also getting help from the Red Cross and from FEMA, right? So we do everything electronically, and our systems are mobile friendly, so people can apply for help and take pictures and apply for help in a disaster from their phones. And we, what our big goal usually is to get the word out. So we work with the federal executive boards that cover that region to make sure they know. If there's large specific agencies in that area, we make sure they know. Certainly, I mentioned those federal employee groups. They're key to getting the word out because they have chapters and members and groups across the United States. So that's a lot of how we get the word out quickly.
What was the toughest one you ever handled?
Well, you know, I have been with FIA also. Shane and I started almost at the same time, 4 years. So it's hard for me to – I mean, certainly since I've been here on the hurricane level, Harvey – I mean, we just had one hurricane and another, but Harvey was a really big response. But I know Katrina was large. Andrew was large for FIA in its history because FIA is, you know, over 30 years old. But I think with Harvey, what happened is that there were many people who were like, wait a minute, I don't live in the flood zone. Why did my home flood? Right. And that was, they didn't have flood insurance. Many of them didn't have renter's insurance. And so the volume of damage there to people's personal finances was quite high because they didn't consider themselves in danger of being a victim of a hurricane. And so that was something that we really helped. And that then allowed us afterwards to be like, hey, we need to get that message out more for renters, for other people who need to take action to kind of support themselves in a disaster.
So how does that – I'm sorry to keep talking about this, but I find this fascinating and amazingly generous. How would somebody – number one, they have to know about you,
right?
Right, and then, so what do they do? I have a house that's flooded,
right?
They apply.
Yeah, they apply, and then if they meet our criteria, I will say that as often happens, you might imagine, we get support. You know, we're trying to reach out for getting more support to help more people. At the same time, we're trying to help people. That happened in the shutdown. That happened in the disasters in Harvey, and so you know. We have to verify certain things. We have to verify their federal employee. So we usually ask them for like a pay stub or their 50, things like SF-50 to make sure they really are a federal employee. Occasionally we have people apply and they don't work in the U.S. government. We say, I'm sorry, our programs are for federal employees. And then we look to see what their damage is like. Now, very often there's been another organization on the ground, like FEMA, like Red Cross, that certifies their damage. Sometimes we can accept pictures. Oftentimes it was a mandatory evacuation, so they have hotel bills. You know, so we collect some of that to make sure it's legit because we take, you know, our role as stewards of donated dollars very, very seriously. And then really we try to operate as quickly as possible. I mean, we try to get that out to folks as quickly as possible, usually by check. That's because then they can take it where they can go. But like for, I will tell you, during the shutdown, we would review, we helped 3,000 families in the shutdown. We would review applications all day. We brought in some people to help us who were experienced grant reviewers who could look at the book. They would work at different times. Some of them were stay-at-home moms. They would stay up all night, review applications after they put their kids to bed. And then the staff would get in the morning, double-check that, and give out all the grants. And then we would do it again the next day. So we are very technology-focused at FIA. And that is because we are trying to give the most amount of dollars out to support people, and one of the best ways for us to do that is to keep our own administrative costs down. And so we have some donated software from Salesforce. We have a custom system that allows people to quickly get support.
So how does somebody know about you other than the people in the room and the listeners, of course?
Yeah. We do have an ever-growing social media presence where we try to reach out people who we believe are federal employees. As I mentioned, we use a large group of these associations and unions to get the word out. We engage with some of the trade press who talk about our message, like Federal News Network, like FedWeek, like GovExec. You know, these are people who talk about FIA in their programming and support that. And we also do direct outreach to agencies. So we will often be at events. So we will be at some major conferences. But, you know, when an agency has a fair, usually it's like a financial wellness fair or something like that, we'll get involved there. We do direct outreach to employee assistance plans. So, you know, agencies do that all a little bit differently. And we want to make sure those people, when they get the call for employee assistance, that they know FIA is a resource for them to refer to.
Very good. Shane?
Stacy, when you think about FIA and us working together, this is a win-win. Mm-hmm. So from WEPA's standpoint, what would you think is a win on our side? I'd love to hear about it.
Sure. So this is a fairly new partnership, and we feel confident that this, because FIA offers such a great resource to federal employees, that is, as I mentioned earlier, our target audience. And at our core, that is why we are in business, because we are all about the civilian Fed. And we feel that this partnership not only brings an awareness to FIA, but it also brings an awareness for WEPA. And, you know, those that may not have heard about us prior to, you know, whether they were coming to you guys for disaster recovery or relief, or just to find a resource, that this is a great alliance. I mean, this is right in our wheelhouse, and we have, we're excited about the opportunities coming up as well. And, you know, there's just been a great partnership here, and there's a lot of synergy with the folks that we're servicing. And our mission is to provide, you know, not only that protection, but also to help feds throughout day-to-day living, and not just within the products that we offer, but when they need it most. So.
Okay, now WEPA, with regards to marketing, of course, they sponsor this radio show, and it hopefully gets the word out. And you're prolific in marketing, not from the negative sense, you know, to just to sell stuff. You're marketing to what you can do for people, mm-hmm. Especially in local D.C. metro area. Now, with regard to FIA, your marketing is probably word of mouth, word of mouth is you help somebody or help some group, and they say, boy, these people jumped right on at the beginning of the calamity and stayed with it.
I certainly think that there's people who know. I mean, I will meet people who'll be like, I remember the day when you guys were there, the day after this or the day after that. I mean, I will meet people. It was before my tenure at FIA, but who will come up and talk to me about that? But certainly we are a national institution, and we are reaching nationally out to make sure. So we certainly, there's a lot of federal employees in the D.C. metro area, but our goal is to reach feds wherever they are. And there are large communities of federal employees. So when I look at, like, who's reading our items, it's Texas, it's California, it's not just Virginia and Maryland that is, you know, accessing FIA's resources. They're coming from all over. In fact, sometimes I think we get almost more from outside of the United States. And again, that's because of a deep knowledge within the federal executive boards about FIA, sharing that word, a huge network of other organizations carrying the word. And certainly people are reading and listening and following federal news across the United States as federal employees. So things that are related to the federal workforce are being carried out. And so when our message is there, it's being carried out.
We work with a fair number of agencies that operate substantially outside the U.S. And I wouldn't even think that you did that, but now I know better.
Right.
So how do you market that?
I think it's in the same way. I mean, those groups are often represented by associations or unions, whether it's, you know, the Foreign Service or certainly AFGE, with, you know, people maybe serving in, like, civilian military. I should also say that FIA was modeled. They're much older than us, but FIA. But, you know, we were formed in the 80s. FIA was modeled after the military relief groups. So that's how this group of leaders in government said, hey, look at how well this works for Army Emergency Relief, Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, Air Force Aid Society, Coast Guard Mutual Aid. And they said, we need something to serve the civilians. And so that also, those military organizations, they also interact with civilians. They also help carry our message, because they know that we are, when they have a civilian on a base comes to them and there was a disaster and they can't be served by the military relief organization, they'll say, you can be served by FIA.
Okay. Now I'm thinking, as you talk with regards to WEPA, a large organization like the State Department, they bring people in. We do the retirement seminars there, and you got 300 people from around the states as well as the country. Now, how do you get the message offshore with regards to what WEPA does?
It's a number of ways. I mean, quite honestly, word of mouth, has always been our biggest marketing tool. So, and it continues to be, although Stacy and her team at WEPA are certainly branching out and going after folks in many, many different ways now. But word of mouth is great. So literally you'll have a federal employee that was working locally, and they'll move to the middle of nowhere, Montana, for the Bureau and work for the Bureau of Land Management. And next thing you know, we'll have 5 or 10 applications come in from that individual office. So it really is, you know, that they've been satisfied with what WEPA has delivered to them, and they will go out and they will tell their colleagues, you know, hey, you guys really gotta get on board with this. This is a great benefit to you.
Mm-hmm. Referrals are a number one source for us. You know, they receive a great product, and sometimes they at first might think it's too good to be true, and they realize that it's not, and then, you know, feds talk, and so that's a great way for us to spread brand awareness.
And to be totally frank, I was a fed for one summer, but I've worked with them all my life, and the opportunities that you provide both organizations to the feds, you don't find that in private industry. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ragging on private industry. It's employed me for, I won't tell you how many years. Oh, Andrew says you got 1 minute, so maybe it's time for me to stop. And final comments?
You know, I just would say that I think what's unique here is that there are organizations like ours, too, who are coming together around the same goal, mm-hmm. which is to help federal employees. We do it differently. We have different programs. But I think the beauty here is it's like a puzzle piece. We're filling in different spots with the same goal. And I think for us, our goal is to help federal employees. That's what, you know, I'm sure I know for WEPA too, you provide a lot of information whether they're WEPA members or not. And I think that you don't see that as much maybe in some other industries. That's okay. What a nonprofit does.
All right. I think we're about out of gas here. Andrew says you have 15 seconds. So thanks everybody for listening. Stacy, Shane, Tony, and Joyce, thank you for coming. Great show. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.